Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
How do you want to see you? Worthy, isn't he? Holy, 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 I want to see. Amen and amen and amen. I want to see you. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. You'd like turning your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading from Revelations 1 and 1 Peter 1. Yes. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have our sister back there with us. She's not a visitor with us. Some of you call her Marjorie, but we call her Tootsie. It was good to have her with us. Yes. I was trying to remember that name a while ago, and I couldn't get it. I said, my Lord, I'm in the wedding, and I can't remember. But it hit me. Tootsie. I said, that's it, Tootsie. So I believe it was good to see you, sis. Glad to have you with us. Amen. Now, remember, the Lord willing, Brother George Quinn from Ireland will be here with us this coming weekend. And just remember that and pray that the Lord would bless. And then the following weekend, that will be the 12th, and following weekend on the 19th, we will have Brother Keith Reed from Jamaica to be here with us for the weekend. So remember these and just pray that the Lord would bless each one. Amen. In your scripture, Revelations 1 and 1 Peter 1. Now, I'm going to make this announcement, and then we will make it again Sunday for a few times. Would your parents please watch your children? Some are playing pretty rough, and, you know, little Olivia fell and got her arm broken Sunday, so we don't want that to happen. We want it to be, you know, and if you see the kids playing rough, call them down, you know, and tell them to quit doing that and everything and all. And we'll announce it a few times. But your parents, make sure you keep check on them, you know, to know what they're doing and all. And we want them to play and have a good time, but we don't want it to be so rough that they can fall and get hurt, you know, and stuff like that. So, all right, remember that, if you will. All right, I believe that's all the announcements. Oh, if you want to go with us this coming Friday up to the meeting in Ruth, then make sure you let us know. We've got to leave here or leave our home there at least by clock, you know, or we can. Now, if you're not going to go, don't call me about 9, you know, or 10 o'clock, and you don't tell me you're going tonight. See, because if you don't, we'll leave early. Because the ladies like to go shopping. So if you want to, you know, you try to go along. If you want to go a little shopping spree, there's a couple of good places on the way up there. My wife and I spent our 54th wedding anniversary shopping this past Tuesday and got a present for Blair. I was asking my wife for a pen to write something down, and the lady said, here's your pencil. I said, well, that's our anniversary present. So we did get a good pen for her anniversary present. But now if you want to go, let us know tonight. Because if not, we're going to leave early. And, you know, if you can leave early with us, that'll be good. We'll all go shopping. You know, we'll take the van and we can pile all the stuff in the back of it. And no problems, okay? So make sure you do that. Amen. Let's just pray before we read our scriptures. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. And we thank you for Calvary. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for love and peace. Thank you for all things. And we know that you've given to us freely. We just ask you tonight to come on the scene now and speak to our hearts and our lives as we try to read your word. You come and speak to us about your word and show yourself unto us. And Lord, guide each and every one. Remember the sick ones and the different things, Father, that have been requested tonight. We pray that you'd do as your word said, that you'd come and heal us and deliver us from our destruction. Have your way, Lord, and guide us now. As we say again, Lord, we want to be covered, so forgive our sins and keep us and cleanse us and guide each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Revelations 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, now we go to 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing. We had a word sent in to us that we need to pray, that Brother Royal Seriano, the flooding is in the Philippines real bad. And there's some pictures back there that it says that actually the first floor of his home, and I'm 99% sure I've been there when I saw the picture, and the bottom floor of his home is totally flooded. And so it's raining real bad there, you know, and all. And they're here and cannot contact their two daughters. So just pray that the Lord would move the rain out and make everything, you know, be okay. They say they've already had over 50 casualties in the last two or three days from the strong rain. So remember that, that the Lord would be with them and take care of them. Amen? Now, we've tried to bring things down Sunday afternoon to kind of show you an overall view of what we're talking about and all, and, you know, kind of line up some things to where we can move on a little bit. And, you know, I want to make sure tonight we're not going to use any, I may quote a good bit, but we're not going to use any quotes. We want to just go with the service and try to speak without having to pull up a bunch of quotes and things, but to get you to see what we're talking about. All right? Now, we went through in our studies of Revelations 4 and brought it over to the place, you know, then to go into now into chapter 5. And going into chapter 5, we have found some things to be there to help us to understand. And I pray that the Lord would open our eyes to one thing. Now, it's you know, I've gotten some comments back, so I know that most people haven't never maybe thought of the situation that I brought out there Sunday morning and the afternoon service of the book being written and then sealed up. Because most everybody wants to try to break it, open it, see it, you know, understand it. But if you wasn't here, I ask you to please listen to the morning and the evening service this past Sunday. All right. But see, the book is sealed. The prophet said, you're sealed with the book. Now you say, well, how is it sealed? Now there's some things about this book, this Bible that we're holding up. that man was able to read and understand, like the faith of the fathers, the writing of the word, etc. But then the book of Revelations comes into view, and it just kind of seals up the book to where that you've got to have an understanding then of a sealed book. Well, now if you'll notice in your reading, we'll get to it in a few minutes, in three places in chapter 5, alone it speaks of a sealed book, you know. And chapter 5 we know is to be already the bride in glory after the rapture. And the book is still sealed, see, because you've got to get that understanding to be able to walk into the rest of the scriptures, all right? But see, the book is sealed. You say, yes, but I said there are some parts of the book that was not what you call sealed up. But just remember that the Bible is sealed to an unbeliever. All right? Do you follow that? It takes the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be able to understand the Bible. Now, you can read, you can study it, that's fine. And we do that. But the Holy Spirit has to reveal. Now, we're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And see, then we know that the Bible said, just paraphrasing it, that no man can call Jesus a Christ, you know, the Christ, except it be by what? By the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? Because you can't understand. You can't see the book. You can't see the kingdom of God without the new birth. All right? So it's sealed up now. So remember now, the book is sealed up. That mankind can't read this Bible and understand it. Because it's sealed until you get the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, also remember this and keep it in your mind. I'll repeat it in a minute. But see, until this time, there in Corinthians, the Bible says that there's a blindness over Israel's eyes that they cannot see. It's over their heart, really, because they can't see it. All right? And see, that's what we're talking about. See, then we begin to talk about in the book of Revelations, you don't see the book in chapter 4. You see one on the throne, you see redemption, you see all the things. And the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1, not seen until 19:21, you know, coming back. All right? The rest is to Israel. See, then that's the point we're trying to get across to you to be able to see. But you see, the book is sealed, and we gave it to you, paragraph like 75 of the seal book. The book is sealed, and you're sealed with the book. See, you're the book. See, we're not talking about the one that's in the hand of the one on the throne is not a Scofield, Thompson chain, or whatever Bible. The book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne, we've read it to you, the prophet, there's nothing in it but a book of names. See, it's a book of names because it was the names that was written on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. So it's just names written in that book. All right? But see, then when we came to earth, then this Bible here is the Book of Life. Because this Bible here then tells what's going on earth while that name is being made manifest that was in the Lamb's Book of Life. Like Brother Brown said, Arm and Neville is not written in the Bible. But he said, what's going on earth while Arm and Neville is here? He said, that puts him right in the Word. All right? See, then we don't look in the Word to try to find our names. We look into the Word to see what's going on. All right? Now, the emphasis I've been trying to make for quite a while is one thing. That book that you are is not completed yet. See? Why? Because we're not completed yet. Right? See, we're in the journey. We're in the process. All right? Now, being in the process, being in the journey, the book is being written. Ye are written epistles, Paul said, known and read of all men. All right? But see, when you come to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, the bride's already gone up to glory in chapter 4. All right? So she's already become the book. She's already become a written epistle. She's already become an alive word. That's what we're doing right now, is receiving the word of God and becoming that word, just as we eat and become the food that we eat. Right. And see, then looking at it, then, see, we are sealed. The world can look at you and they can say to the about the sisters, and they say, well, you know, you're different. You look like the Word, all right? But still, they can't see them, right? You remember Brother Branham saying, said, you can't see me? He said, you see the body I inhabit, but you can't see me. Right. Yeah. And so is it, as I said a moment ago then, that we are that book. You're a walking book. You're a living book. The book is now being written about you and I. There's things in this Bible that's not fulfilled yet. You agree? All right? Now, if it's written in this book by somebody by prophecy, like Paul saying, we'd be changed the moment a twinkle of an eye. Now, that hadn't taken place yet, right? If it has, you and I missed it. All right? But see, it's not taken place yet. All right? So then, the book is not complete. All right? See, now, the book I'm talking about, Adam didn't have a Bible in his hand. We were doing prayers today, and my wife and I were talking about these things, and she helps me to try to get me to back to the chain of thinking and what we ought to bring out, and, you know, and I appreciate that. But see, Adam never had a Bible in his hand. He didn't have a book in his hand. He didn't have a book. He didn't have the Lamb's Book of Life holding it in his hands. No. But what he had was the ability to bring forth all of those names. Right? And had he not, sin not entered the picture, we would have become spoken word children, and only the names that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life would have been all that would have come. Uh-huh. But because that we didn't go that way and sin entered the picture, then there's a lot more names going to be involved, and then a book had to be starting to be written. Now, according to the book of Daniel, according to the book of Revelation, it calls them books. The prophet says there's even a book about your life. But this Bible tells us enough about our life. See, this Bible has covered every age and time that will ever be upon the earth is written right here in this Bible. All right? Now, but that's the book of life, to show you what you're doing, or a record of what you're doing. And it recorded on the day of Pentecost that the baptism of the Holy Ghost came. And how many received that? What were they? Their names had to be on that Lamb's Book of Life. But it's not that Adam was sitting with a book and lost it. He lost the ability for it to come forth. And God had to take it back. All right? Now, Brother Brown said, then we see him sitting here with that book in his hand. So the book that I'm talking about is in the hand of the one sitting on the throne in Revelation 5:1. It's not a Bible. You can call it a Bible because it's the book of life. But it's a record of those names. See? That would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it's not a record of the Jews. It's not a record of the foolish virgins and the thing. It's only a record of those names that only the bride See, then when Jesus Christ paid the price, then he went to the throne. All right? You remember we went through chapter 4? He raised up and went to the throne. All right? Brother Brown said, climbed up on the throne and sat down. In other words, became the one on the throne. That's what happened at Calvary. But he didn't claim the possession of the entire being at Calvary. He only claimed the possession of the soul of the individual. All right? Now, he's not going to have to get back up on the throne and die again to claim the rest of us. He paid the price. It just wasn't made manifest at that time. All right? See, then what started was, it started on earth. It's like I said a moment ago, no man can see the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost into our hearts and lives, right? All right. Be in that kingdom. When you and I came into that kingdom by the new birth, that brought that name that was before the foundation of the world, it made it manifest on earth. Might not be Gary Atkins or Crancy the one. Because it's their name that was written before the foundation of the world. But there's a manifestation on earth of that individual. See, both of them, the inner made manifest here on earth. And accepting the new birth, then God's predestination would catch up with you. And see, then you would be here as a born-again believer. That's the writing of the book. See, until all of those names in that Lamb's Book of Life have been made manifest upon earth in individuals who have received the new birth, all right, then the book is not complete. I gave you quotes over and over where the prophet would say, when the book is completed, you know what happens to the book? It's sealed up. All right? So if you can see that people can't even see you, they see the body you inhabit, they see your life, your actions, your doings, and that's why it's so important how we live. All right? But they can't see that Christ in you because that Pharisee was just as religious as to look upon him. The Pharisee would have been more religious of what we think of religion than what Jesus was even. But we know that what was it? He was an actor. The word Pharisee, actor. See? All right? But you see, once that last name comes in here on earth and is made manifest by the new birth, you understand what I'm saying? Not just because it comes on earth, but it's got to receive the new birth. All right? And when it does, the book is completed. And it's sealed up. Because what I want you to think about is statements Brother Branham made that we sometimes don't, you know, honor them as much as I think as we need to. But Brother Branham said here in Revelation 5, he said the book is closed. He said we didn't know it was a sealed book. That's what he said. That's in the sealed. I gave it to you. He said we didn't know it was a sealed book. He said, but we found it's a sealed book. The book is sealed up. It's not open until chapter 10. You find him with the book in his hand opened. You don't find him in chapter 5 with that book opened. Why? Because this book in Revelation 5 is you. And you're sealed up just like you're sealed up here, that they can't see you. They can see the life that you manifest, but they can't see Christ unless the Holy Ghost comes through that person to make Christ manifest. So then the book's got to be sealed. Why? Because it's got to go to Israel as a sealed book. Come on. Israel at this time, the book is sealed. Right? They can't see Jesus Christ. They know all about him. They could probably tell you more about him in a lot of things than even a lot of the religious world that claim to be Christians. But in doing that, see, it's sealed up. You are the book that I've been talking about in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Because you don't see the book in chapter 4. I went through that over and over. You see the throne and one on the throne, the elders and the rainbows and the things showing the rapture has taken place. But you don't see the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne in chapter 4. It's in chapter 5. Why? Because he's fixing to take that book. Right? And he's going to preach you to Israel. I don't see why people can't see that. We're not going to Israel, as I've said. Some even believe that we're going to go to Israel ourselves. Some in the message say a Gentile prophet and a Gentile bride, you know. Of course, I knew the brother meant he was the Gentile prophet, but it didn't make no difference. I didn't believe it. Because we're not going to get up in a plane, fly to Israel, and then go out in a rapture. And we ain't going to fly up and go over and go down, you know. No. But this message, which is the Bible, you agree, Brother Brown's message is the Bible? This message will go to Israel. This book will go to Israel. Not a book like this. But they will tell Israel, you rejected the right of sonship. You would not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We said the Gentiles did. And they have this whole New Testament now is written that you can read what they done. And they can tell us that, and they went in the rapture. And you rejected the right of sonship. I was looking at something today because my wife will remember this. I told her, I said, there's something, somebody said about them singing a new song. And I couldn't get that straight. You know. Now I know where it's at. See, in Revelation 5, the bride sings a new song. But in Revelation 14, Israel sings a new song after they're redeemed. That's about 14:3, I think it is. I knew it was somewhere, and I couldn't place it, and I kept searching, and then all at once it appears, see? All right? See, we sing a new song. You say, yeah, but we've always sung the song of redemption. That's right, but our song of redemption. Have you ever noticed your songs? Notice your songbooks. Charles Wesley and them all wrote the songs right during that period of time. A lot of people that time. You know they was written about the blood. Is that right? Why? Because that was what was being preached. It was being preached so strong until they believed you were saved by the blood. Well, there's no way to be saved by the blood because the chemistry can't be applied. You're saved by the life that's in the blood. But you see, their songs actually sing those songs. We sing them right here. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. And they were written in the time of the blood. Right? They were being preached of sanctification. Azusa Street struck. What is the songs? One of them, Now, that may come on down later in our day, but just get my idea of what I'm saying. They wrote songs about the oneness of the Godhead right after Azusa Street, because that was the message that was being preached. What are the songs now written by the people of the Bride of Christ? Beautiful song of the token, of the different things. Why? Because it's the hour. Even the song shows the time that we're at. Huh? Are you following me? See, but we're going to sing a new song. You say, well, we just want to sing the songs of redemption. Now we're going to sing a new song. We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to sing a new song. Not something different, but it's a song related to where we're at. And then when we leave out of here, Israel will sing a new song. But be real careful the way you place it. Because we sang the new song that thou hast made us kings and priests unto our God. Israel sings only thou hast redeemed us. I'll get to that scripture in a minute. It's on over the message to show you the difference. If I don't get to it, you read Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And then you read Revelation 14, 1 through about 3. They sing a new song. Because you see, they can't sing the song of salvation. They can sing only the song of redemption. You say, what's the same? No, it's not. See? Redemption can be a white throne judgment. A foolish virgin is redeemed one day. But you can't sing the song of redemption that we can sing, because they don't know anything about our God and our Savior. Are you listening? See, the book that went back there was the book of names. But the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne, if you want to call it that, it's the Bible. Because this Bible is the book of life. Brother Branham will call it the Bible, because it's the book of life. But in this book of life is also a lot of bad things. You know what it does? It tells you all about how dirty you are. Paul said, and such were some of us. Amen. But I like what he sung, a new song. Because he said, but now we're clean, washed by the blood. See, this Bible then shows you the natural life that we're living. But it shows also the eternal life that is dwelling on earth. Because here's Peter, James, John. That's those names that were written in that book on life before the foundation of the world. You know? But then their lives is here. Even to Peter doubting and problems. But you know, it was before his new birth. You don't find any doubtings in Peter after his new birth made manifest. You find him ready to give his life for the gospel. All right? But do you see what I'm talking about? You see what I've been trying to say? I know it's confusing when I come out and say, hey, everybody's been talking about opening the book, book this, book that. They don't even know how the book got sealed. How did the book in Revelation 5 get sealed? Whatever kind of book you want to make it. Whatever you want to call it or what it is. How did it get sealed? Because it is sealed. Yeah, but we know the seals, Brother Dale. We know all about seals. Yeah. And listen, church, I know I've made mass confusion when people's minds are saying one thing. The seals of the literal happening of those seals is to Israel. The revelation of those seals is to the bride of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be around here when the sixth seal breaks, do you? Because you'd be in the tribulation. Well, that's what they thought Brother Branham was saying. when you get over to the Feast of the Trumpets, and like a brother said, he makes so many slips of the tongue that it can't be understood. Brother Brown gets over there and he says, see here? He said, there's a seventh angel, Malachi 4 and all. He says, to come between the sixth and seventh seal. Well, now, if it comes between the sixth and seventh seal, that would put him into tribulation. If that's all you know. He said, well, Brother Dale, the seals is broke to the bride. Amen. But are we there where they are to be made manifest? You better not be there when that first one is. Because that was the only question they asked him. Does 2 Thessalonians, the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God, is that the first seal? And he said, yes. So you better not be there for that. You better be there where that God takes the seal off and reveals to you what those things is taking place. I don't want to be where they're at. I want to be where the revealing is at. This is the revealing of the book. While the book is being written about you and I, it's being revealed. We are the revealed book. We are the Word of God that's being made manifest. We are that book that's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. And then he can take what's there, and he's got a book to go to Israel. You remember we brought it out Sunday trying to show where the prophet of God even was confused on that fifth chapter. Because when he answered that question, is that the saints? He says, no, that is not the saints. He said, they're not redeemed. He said, that's the elders and the beast and things. But see, he's done forgot that he's in heaven. He's thinking that's some redemption for earth. Chapter 4 and 5 is in heaven. The bride is already in glory. She's the book. That's what I've tried to explain to you. And then I ask you a simple question. I know that's offensive to people. Could he take your revelation and convert the Jews? Well, I don't really know whether there's one God or three. You know, it kind of looks like it's three sometimes. Sometimes maybe there's four or five. I don't really know. Is it important for me to know? That's what everybody says, right? Once you start talking to anybody, and that's the first thing. You think we need to know this? All we need to know is Jesus Christ died for our sins. Well, go right over there and join that church because that's what he preaches every Sunday. I'm not sarcastic. I'm telling the God's honest truth. You don't go to a Baptist church and hear them preach that salvation comes by believing in some hoodoo. They preach it comes by believing in Jesus Christ. But then the scripture says no man can call him the Christ unless it's by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Could he take your revelation and show Israel one God? Now you see why did I spend 40-something years preaching one God? Could he take your revelation of one God and convert a Jew? That Brother Brandon was listening to him the other day. He said, them Jews can show you where that Trinity come from. He said, they can tell you all of these things because they studied it. So that's why you can't cut God in three pieces and give him to a Jew. Now, how could you take the doctrines in this message and go to Israel? Two lords, two souls, River Jordans, you know, God not God until a River Jordan, all these things. You see why it's not going to work. They've tried to do it. I'm not trying to explain. They've churches in Israel right today that are following this message. But is that going to convert the Jews? Well, how come it won't convert? How come? Come on. All you got to do is get the word, brother. Just give them the books. Now you've seen the latest that's coming on all of these things. After the guy, you know, jumped up that Brother Branham was out there at the wrong time hunting and all this, that, and the other. Now this big thing's on blasted on the internet around the world showing the fallacies of Brother Branham's message. You don't have them as a copy in my office. See, everybody's getting on the bandwagon now. The church, we don't see the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God in a literal extent. Israel sees that with the breaking of the covenant. But we see him sitting now. Now in the people of this message, because the greatest and the closest to the truth is where the Antichrist can be the greatest. And see, you think that I'm hateful for talking about those things. No, I'm trying to warn you, just don't get caught with them. I just simply ask you the question. Could your revelation convert a Jew? Now, I don't mean this wrong. But how many of your mannerisms and conversation and life and things has converted people to this message? Sorry. I shouldn't be that hateful. But why not? It's the truth. The prophet said, your life is so loud I can't hear your words. Oh, that's for them other people, you know. No. A lived life is a greater book than any book, any talk you can do with your lips. All right? And let me get off there and get back. Do you see what I'm talking about? Let's just read it. Go ahead, Brother Joe, and pull up Revelation 5. We got him in the office all by himself tonight because I told him I was going to have nothing but a few scriptures. Yeah. Let these other brothers rest. But I want you to notice how many times he talks of a sealed book. Well, now, what kind of a book is it? What's wrong here? We've done gone up in the rapture. What kind of a book is it? And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. That's all that people ever dealt with. Is it on the inside or is it on the outside? We can't figure that out. We can't figure that out. Whether it's inside or outside. We got quotes from Brother Branham that it's sealed on the inside and sealed on the outside. But you better carry that all the way through until you find him saying you can't add one word to the book. I tried to explain that years ago, but how many of you remember it? There's not seven seals on the outside of the book. There's not seven thunders on the outside of the book. Daniel heard the thunders. They're in the book. John heard the thunders. They're in the book. But yet a quote from Brother Branham. The thunders is the only thing that's left. And they're on the back side of the book. Now what's he talking about? He's done explained to you it's not a book like this. He's done explained it's not this. That it's scrolls and things. Why can't you remember that and get away from a book? Well, why don't you get down to a point of thinking? That book is a book of names. And it's sealed up until those names are revealed. Until it's revealed. It's not written inside and on the backside writing, why don't you just get simple weird thinking? Huh? Everybody awake to just a simple statement I've made for 40 years. Then the book that is written is sealed by the book of Revelations. It's not outside the book. Can't be outside the book. You get your plague sometimes. Well, it was on the outside till the prophet broke it. Well, did he go outside the book and get his revelation? Come on. Did he go outside the book and get his revelation? No, he can't do that. He's a prophet. It had to be what was in the book. He said, but where light had not shined on. What in the Bible had light not shined on? Peter and him preached one God, water baptism, no eternal hells and things. You said, no, you can't. Well, it's in there in his writings. But the book of Revelations has the Bible sealed. That's what it's sealed with. That's why it's on the back. It's the last book in the Bible, right? There's not another book after the book of Revelations. So that's the back side of the book. It's the book of Revelations that seals the entire book. And until those seals are broke, I'm going to throw you a curve to where you follow it one of these days and I get to it. When you get to Revelation 6:1, there's only one seal broke in 6:1. So then there's six more. So the book ain't opened in Revelation 6:1. It's only partly open. You got to have all of those seven seals to be open for the book to be opened. The church. So what does he say? And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book? So the book's closed. And to loose the seals thereof. Sealed with the seals. Right? No man in heaven or man under the earth was able to open the book. Why? It's a sealed book. Neither to look thereon. You couldn't even look at it. What do you mean I can't look at it? I pick it up and yeah. What your prophet said, you stop that drunk driving down the highway and he's sock drunk and you ask him, is Jesus Christ God? And you say, yes. He said, but he only knows what somebody else said. It's not a revelation to him. See? No man in heaven or on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open. So it's sealed. Right? And read the book, neither to look thereon. Right? And one of the elders saith, and weep not, behold, a lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals. Brother Branham couldn't do that. Because no man in heaven and no man on earth. And Brother Brown said, Moses was there. Elijah was there. He said, all of them that had died in Christ was there. There's no man worthy. So don't holler and say, well, Brother Brown was worthy. He's the one that's just told us he's not worthy. All right. But get what I'm talking about. He's prevailed. He's over. So he can open the book, he can loose the seals. The Lamb. So in Revelation 6:1, it says, and the Lamb opened the first seal. Second one, it says, and the Lamb opened it. Third, fourth. Now, it don't get down on over there about 5 and 6 and say the Lamb opened the fifth seal, but you've got enough sense to know what's going on. So don't be a I know what goes in people's mind. Well, there ain't no Lamb on the fourth and fifth. Or something like that. Boy, look at the revelation I've got. Hogwarts. And behold, lo, in the midst of the throne, the elder stood as a lamb. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which is seven spirits of God. That's like we said. Now, what kind of lamb is it? That's not talking about Calvary. He never had seven horns and seven eyes at Calvary. This is the end time. When the book is sealed up. Only after the book is sealed up does the Lamb appear with seven horns and seven eyes. And all right, we put message after message to do prove what? Where did the Lamb come from? Did we not read that it came from the church ages? Because those horns and eyes are the messengers and the ages. Go back in chapter 1 and read. It'll tell you that. All right. Where did this Lamb come from? What's he doing in the end time? He's fixing to go to Israel. He's going to take those seals off of that book and go to Israel. Because the next redemption is Israel. And chapter 5, we're in heaven. Right? Simple. Everybody says I'm so deep, but what is it? Simple. Look. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him and set upon the throne. And he took the book. Now, Brother Branham, I gave him to you. It's on souls in prison. And who do you say this is? It's two different quotes. That Brother Branham said he took the book, climbed up on the throne, and sat down. All right? So that's what he's referring to. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. See, we look at like two people, one taken out of his... No, he took the book. He come to the position the book in him was one. He walks up on the throne and sits down. Who? The Lamb. The Lamb that has seven horns and seven eyes climbs up on the throne and sits down. The prophet said it like this. He said he become the one on the throne. Has your revelation put him back on the throne? Or do you still have wonders about Trinity or what this is or what that is? Well, Brother so-and-so explained it so beautiful. Yeah, like that brother that had that big thing and had the screens of it and everything, you know, and everybody just went haywire. He had it all drawn out where this great pillar of fire went up here and went over here and come down over here, and he just raced this out. Well, that's where he first messed up. Because Brother Branham never said, "Oh God, like all that we think, was poured into Christ." Because there was a part of Christ that was not made manifest until the book of Revelation. Right? Look, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them hearts and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, and they, who? Not the Lamb, not the elders, not the four beasts. You say, well, that was part of it. Yeah, it's part of it. But now you're getting into the story. The saints are singing a new song. What are they singing? See, that's where Brother Branham, when he answered from here up in his thoughts. But then when he dropped down and read that ninth verse, he said, that is the bride of Jesus Christ. I answered that wrong. Right? And they sang a new song. Now watch. What is that new song? Would not that new song be what the prophet of God was saying when he said, when the seals broke, it become a brand new book? Is that what he said? Not a different book, right? Not something different. So the song you were singing about the blood, you finally see, as the prophet would say, you're not saved by the blood. See, Wesley and all of them taught you were saved by the blood. Brother Brown said, you're not saved by the blood. He said, you're saved by the life that was in the blood. He said, you're kept saved by the blood because it's on the throne. See, then you're moving up. It's opening up. Singing a new song. And watch. Thou art worthy to take the book. and to open the seals. Now, it didn't say he did right there. You find in chapter 5 one worthy to take the book and what the book is. Chapter 6 is when the Lamb opens the first seal. Get in the correct order. Read it in the correct order. Look why they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain. Who was slain? The Lamb, Christ. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. Like Wade said the other day. See, then that can't be Israel. Because they're not redeemed out of every kindred, nation, and tongue. They're redeemed out of Israel. They may be living in every nation and kingdom, but they are not in that. That's not them. They're Jews. Right. Listen. Has redeemed us to God out of every kindred and nation, and hath made us unto our God king and priest, and shall reign on the earth. All right. Remember what it says there, so keep looking at that. Chapter 4, 14. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Look what's already happened to them. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harps harping with their harps, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne. Watch their song. Now remember their song, "You made us priests and kings. You've redeemed us." Watch what their song is. And they sang as it were a new song. See, because they couldn't sing it before. Sung before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song. And listen. But the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. All it says is that they're redeemed. Nobody can't sing that song but the 144,000. No man can't sing this song that we're looking at in Revelation 5, where he's made us priests and kings. Nobody can sing that. The Jews can't sing that because they don't come back to sonship. You don't understand what that prophet, he answered that question. They're in the questions and answers on the seals. He said, that is not the saints. Now what if God had not have stopped him? There's only two redemptions in the Bible. 144,000 and a bride that you're dealing with. So he would have been saying that was Israel. Well, that's okay. We're over in 4th chapter. See, that's how silly people are. If he made that Israel, we can't say that we're priests and kings. Israel would be the priests and the kings because they would be singing that song. We wouldn't even have a song to sing. We wouldn't have anything to shout about when you get on down into further in the 5th chapter. We wouldn't have anything. It would all be gone to Israel. Now, how many years have I tried my best to preach to you one thing? In the Old Testament, there was no eternal life as a possession except Adam. Adam was the only one in the Old Testament that it talks about having eternal life. Nobody else had eternal life. Well, where are they going, Brother Dale? They're going to be given eternal life. That's why they can sing a new song. Because remember, there's more than just 144,000. There is a fifth sealed Jew that can cover a lot of people. And they can sing that song of Israel, but they can't sing what the 144,000 can sing. You know, the 144,000 can't be nothing but eunuchs to the bride. That's what your prophet said. The plan of redemption. But do you see what I'm talking about? Revelation 5, we are that book that's going to be taken to Israel. It's our revelation of Almighty God brought to us by the prophet of God. And don't you misunderstand me on when I'm saying those things. It, without him bringing it, you and I wouldn't have it. But you can't make him God. He's a member of the body of Christ. Don't you think them true prophets is not going to tell them that the Jews, that the Gentiles received a Gentile prophet, and they're going to explain the five times of Elijah? They got 3.5 years to preach. When you read it, it looks like we go up, whammo, the next day all Israel say. No, there's 3.5 years of preaching. They will tell them all about what's happened to you and I. They'll tell them about Elijah, number one, Elisha, number two. See? John the Baptist, number three, of the coming of Elijah. And Brother Branham, number four, of the coming of Elijah. And they'll be standing there looking at number five. You know what's the worst thing of it? How are they going to see? They say to those two prophets, come on, you want the Bible? They say, where did you get the nail prints in you? Them two prophets won't be standing there with nail prints in their hands. Come on. They'll be preaching about Calvary. Right? They'll be preaching about Calvary. At Calvary, he could show the nail prints in his hands. But look, folks, when they see his wife, that's what I was trying to get across Sunday. Joseph, you think he was more interested in his daddy than he was his wife? Joseph loved his daddy, loved his brothers. He done said that vow before him, and they did. Do you think he was interested? You think he went home with daddy? Well, daddy, I'm going home with you. Well, don't you have a wife and some kids? Yep, that's over with. I'm with my daddy now. I love my daddy. I love my daddy too, but he's not my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, but they are not my wife. My wife is a part of me. You remember this dream I had and woke up? And in the dream, I was going down the road singing, "Fill My Way Every Day With Love," as I walked with a heavenly dove. And I woke up and I heard a voice singing, "Fill My Way Every Day With Love." I kept listening, thinking, well, am I still asleep or am I awake? And I thought, well, I know I'm awake. And I heard it. My wife was in the other room singing, "Fill My Way." Now, how did she know to sing the song at the time I was dreaming about it? Because you see, we're one. Joseph was more concerned about his wife than he was his daddy and his brothers. All right. God loves his children of Israel. Right? He died for them. But who do you think he loves now? They rejected the right of being his wife. Come on. But the Gentiles accepted it. And by us accepting Jesus Christ, then we can fulfill the complete plan of redemption. Because we can sing a new song. When you're in chapter 5, you can sing, "I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Everything I got, I owe it to him." Right. See, Paul, now if you understand, I'm going to just say this and quit. Paul could sing of the redemption, right? Peter, James, John, they could sing redemption, right? Now, see if you catch on to the stories I was trying to tell you, how the songs were written about the blood in the days of Wesley. This was what I was talking about. Those disciples could sing the song of redemption, but they can't sing what we can sing. They can only sing, I'm redeemed, waiting redemption. Come on. They without us cannot be made perfect. So they could only sing, I'm redeemed in soul, but my body is still here. I got problems with it. But that bride in Revelation 5 stands there totally eternal. Totally eternal. Body, spirit, and soul. That's a new song. What about it? Anybody got any questions? Am I confusing you? I don't want to confuse you. I want it to be clear. You see, the book I'm talking about is sealed up as you and I. This Bible's been sealed the whole time. This Bible's sealed to an unbeliever. This Bible is sealed to a Jew. He can only read the Old Testament part. Brother Brown said the old only speaks to the new. But they can't understand redemption. They're worried about the nail prints. But when he makes himself known to them, they go to themselves for, because they see they rejected Messiah. Now listen to what I'm saying. When them 144,000 sees the nail prints in his hands, they know he died at Calvary. Right? They know that's talking about Jesus, because it's not seeing him in physical. It's seeing him through the two prophets. All right? But when they see they turned down that Messiahship and we accepted it, they go to themselves and weep, because they know they turned it down. It ain't a bunch of Gentiles saying, well, bless God, I'm saved. I tell you what, you can't tell me I ain't saved. When Jesus Christ is revealed to those Jews, it sends them to their knees. Has your revelation put you on your knees anywhere? Or has it lifted your head up and made it so big do you have to use a strut? I'm bruh. You better remember the stories the prophet told about the armor meatpacking guy that come looking for a wife. And he found a little old slave girl that didn't have no clothes worth nothing. That was out there washing and taking care of everything where her kinfolks could go to parties and dress up. And she didn't smell too good. She smelled like the animals. She didn't have no pretty hairdo. But she had one thing that man was interested in. It was a character. A character, right? She was a servant. You get a revelation and it blows your head up. I'll tell you, I've got them and they tried to blow mine and I've had to put them out. He said, Brother Dale, you'll tell us that? Well, why not? Why not be honest? That's where the trouble with people is, they're not honest. You ask most preachers in this message, you ever got that busted your head? No, boy, I've always been humble. Yeah. The only thing is, I just ain't lied to you. Satan will try his best to penetrate your mind and give you thoughts and ideas that are not right. You must know the word to be able to change. Oh, Brother Dale, I just feel so good. It just makes me feel good when Brother So-and-so's preaching. That's what I get here, you know. I go home, I listen to the tape because I ain't here, and I hear a lot of you hollering amen. In the night, I don't hear nothing. You think I'm mean, don't you? No. If I was mean, I'd done quit a long time ago. I got close to it a few times. Every other day, you know. But you see, I'm not trying to get your amen. I'm trying to touch your soul. If that soul gets right with God, we'll have plenty of time in glory, because you can read there where they're shouting so much. You know what I love? After all of the shouting, the screaming and the hollering that could be done out of the bride of Christ, John says, they all heard me. He must have had a voice. Come on, brothers. Write questions. Write down, say, Brother Dale, explain this. But I do the best I can. And I put it into so much, I know, and I try to help you, but I try to give you something to anchor it with the Word. And it's not then just something Brother Dale has to say. Can you get up here and tell me that what I've said on Revelations chapter 4 and 5 is not what Brother Branham has said? Anybody want to talk? Come. Men, women, children, or what? And tell me I ain't tried to say what Brother Branham said. Because that's what I've tried to do. Failed bitterly, I know. But I want you to see Jesus Christ. I want my wife to have her own experience, because she can't go because that me and her are married. She's got to have her own Holy Ghost. My kids got to have their own Holy Ghost. I can believe for them. God can speak to me about them, yeah. But I can't save them. But I can keep holding on. Let's stand together. What do we got, brother?
194 in the red book.
Anybody have a need?
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakened. Time the Bible foretold.
Gentile days number with hearts. Soon will unfold. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. How many of you ever had a broken arm? You know it hurts, don't you? You know it hurts a lot. So let's just pray that God will put this in a place that won't hurt our little sister. All right? That's all we're asking God to do, is just put it where it won't hurt. And we believe it. Lord Jesus, we condemn the poor thing called pain. It goes with this, the hurting, but it don't have to be that. Because we've seen it where it has gone. And we believe you, Father, that by your stripes, little Olivia is healed. Now take away the pain, the hurting, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Scott. God's church is the power that's shaking this tower. The day of redemption is nigh. Satan's doing everything he can through the duty and the different things or the problems there and all. to hand our brother's wife. We just ask you, Father, to move on the scene there. Take care of everything. Take it all away. Let everything be for you. We love you, and we thank you, Father, and we believe you in Jesus' name. Just go believe it. Go believe it and see. Your eyes are hurting. It's okay. Father, just touch little Abby, Lord. This is hurting her eyes, Father. We believe you, Father. And let everything be all right. In Jesus' name.
Men's hearts are failing.
Anybody else? Come and believe. Church, if you can see, we are not just letters. That'll kill you. You read the Bible, you can't find yourself without the prophet telling you where that you can find yourself. Right? We couldn't do it. Oh, yeah, we're all Christians. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. We get us a new body. We get all these things. We believe in, we get up there, there'll be one sitting over here, one sitting over here, one sitting over there. Oh, a great Trinity. Oh, ain't it something? It ain't even in the Bible. Would a prophet come to turn us back to the Word and to see who we are? He said, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, Satan won't be able to stand against you. You say, yeah, but look at all of the horrible things. Would you like to swap places with the Lord Jesus and the things he went through? What about those early saints that had to give their life for the gospel? That they would even take pregnant women in the Fox Book of Martyrs, it tells you, take pregnant women and actually cut the babies out of them and throw them to the hogs. Take the women that had the long hair because, you know, Christians don't, women don't cut their hair. They take the long hair, tie them together and pour tar on it and set them on fire. That's what they done. But those Christians died saying, make me worthy, Lord. Amen. Let me give my life. And you know, if they hadn't they gave their life, you and I wouldn't be here.
Sure.
That was what they were doing. They were under that combat of ox sacrifice to where that we could come. Now what's our job? They went by the grave. Those great, wonderful saints is laying in the grave waiting on you and I to become what God said we are and to draw them right out of the ground. What a wonderful time. One more. Let's go.
97.
The world will try to
satisfy that longing in your soul. The world, I'm true satisfaction. You'll never find it until you find Jesus. You'll always be in a turmoil and a twist until you find Jesus. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. You love him?
And only he can save your heart
and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you have the fame and fortune, all the world you could obtain,
yet you have not
Christ within, you're living. Be invited. You don't be worried about your riches then. Sing it unto him. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And only change your life and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. You're dismissed. Remember, the service is Sunday. Pray for Brother Quinn. We'll be coming, being here with us to preach unto us. Satisfy your soul.